a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It is December 4th. It is a Thursday, and this is the Razzball Basketball Podcast. I am here with Slim. We've got a great show today. Thanks again for joining us. How are you doing today, man?
Good, ready to go. We got a long one.
Yep, we've got a really, really jam-packed long show today. We're going to recap some of Wednesday's games and the big news there, including a win in the Sixers column, surprisingly. We've got Monta Ellis' game winner. We've got a special guest on the show today, Justin Fan from Basketball Monster. He's who we're up against in the Yahoo Friends and Family League, and we talked about how much we liked his rankings in preseason, so we're really excited to have him on. Then at the end of the show, we're going to talk about a couple of DraftKings options for Friday night, then preview the couple games tonight, and a couple of maybe streamer ideas. And then it's Thursday, it's our last show of the week. We wrap our shows with going to the movies. But first, do you have an NBA rule book next to you? Because I'm gonna quiz you on some NBA rules. You think you can?
I've memorized it, so there's no worry.
Okay. So, how many seconds into a game can the refs call a mulligan?
Really? What game was it?
That was ridiculous. Of course, in the Sixers win against the Wolves, they tip off. And I think Henry Sims gets fouled. He's at the free throw line, and the refs are like, oops, our bad. We had the guys going the wrong way. I mean, restarts the game.
They didn't even put Sims on the foul line at the other side?
Nope, they re-tipped and started over. Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
I'm pretty sure that was an NBA first. How does that happen? I mean, I guess they figured no one was watching, but everyone was watching because they wanted to see the Sixers win or break the record for worst start. All right, second question. How many steps can you take before hitting a game winner? Because it's got to be different than a normal shot. If you're shooting a game winner, it's free reign, right?
Oh, yeah, the refs will not make that call. I mean, you know, if you're a superstar, it's definitely more than three. So, yeah, I'd usually say, you know, you take your two steps, then you take your jump step, and then your Euro step. Yeah, so four looks about right.
Your bunny hop, your Harlem shake, and then you get the shot up. And you're Yeah, if you didn't see Monta Ellis' game winner last night, I mean, he took a dribble. He kind of stumbled, his feet shuffled, then he took two more steps to get the fadeaway off. It was pretty ridiculous that they let that call ride, but what can you do? So normally we just go straight into player performances, but I'm going to start a little different today. Going to the Twitter, you can tweet me at JB Gilpin, JBGILPIN. Get your tweet read on the show. We like bringing in Twitter questions. Makes us a little bit more interactive. So I want to start with Hoosier Know-It-All, who is one of our frequent commenters by Felicia. And he asked that, it's not really a question. He just said that Danny Green has been the surprise of the season for him this year. And it made me think, who have been some of our big surprises, and who are a couple guys that have been busts for us this far?
Well, busts are real easy. There's a whole lot of them.
But damn you, Dragic! I mean,
you got the obvious one with, you know, Cleveland players. You know, Kyrie with being what he's doing, and Love doing what he's doing. That's the easy ones.
Mm-hmm. Those have been
Danny Green's up there. I mean, they got him ranked 13th on Yahoo.
He's having an unreal year. Had another rainbow line last night. I mean, when you're averaging, 2.4 trays, 1.3 steals, and 1.4 blocks. But, you know, I put this in the article this morning that before last night, which, you know, he had a big one last night, so that's going to skew him up a little bit more, his numbers this year really weren't that different looking than his numbers from 2012-13, so 2 years ago, when he had kind of the big underrated breakout year. Now, last year, the minutes went way down and the production went down. He had a brutal first half. But, I think if you can trade for him, you know, if someone's not buying it at all, maybe. But I don't think he's, you know, no one's going to want to sell the 13th ranked player right now.
I mean, I would, if they're going to buy him as a 13th ranked player, they can have him.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, the numbers are skewed because of that, you know, the 2% and the turnovers. So, you know, it's, you say surprises, but, you know, it's not like the rebounds, assists, and threes, they're pretty much what he's been doing before.
Yeah, I agree with you there. He hasn't missed a free throw yet either, 15 to 15. So that's pretty impressive. I don't know. I gotta say, Klay Thompson.
What a game, you know? It's
well, yeah.
A big surprise for me is like someone like Roy Hibbert, because he doesn't look as bad as he did last year.
That's a big one, and you know, another big man, and probably the biggest one for me at least, is Tyson Chandler. Right now, ranked 23rd on Yahoo. Both those guys just having a great start of the year. I mean, Chandler's shooting almost 70% from the floor, averaging 11-11, 1.5 blocks. You know, health for both those guys is a really big question, so I think that's kind of baked into their pie for the weirdest metaphor I've ever said on the show.
I mean, you look at like a John Wall, and his ranking is 27, but no one's giving you Wall for Danny Green or Roy Hibbert or any of these guys that have good ranks.
Yeah, everything's skewed a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I just thought
these words are not equal. They're just not.
Yeah, yeah, and everything, you know, they're skewed a little bit. You know, this is 9 cat where everything's ranked, I believe, the same for Yahoo. And I'm also looking at average stats. So, you know, Westbrook is 14th on this ranking, even though he's only played 5 games. So yeah, it's just interesting to think about who have been some of our surprises. I got to say, Klay Thompson being 8th, you know, I've always made fun of him a little bit, but when you're averaging...
A little bit.
He's not Robin Lopez, okay.
Well, yeah, he's not Greg Monroe, but...
Thompson's been, you know, up to 1.3 steals, 0.7 blocks, I think is pretty surprising for him. I mean, he's not going to shoot 45%, you know, 44-45% from the field with all those threes he takes. But, you know, to this point, has he been a surprise for me? Yeah, very much so. Looking at a couple other guys that have been surprises.
Jimmy Butler, I guess. You didn't think he'd go 22 points a game.
No, that's a good one. We did think he was good. I mean, we were high on him compared to the consensus.
Yeah, I'm just shocked at the volume.
Yeah, Jeff Green's been a lot better this year.
Ridiculous.
What'd you say?
The 8.5 free throws per game is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, the high volume there has been huge. Like I said, Jeff Green's been a little bit a surprise. There's been, you know, a couple guys that we definitely didn't expect doing well that are ranked pretty highly. To a couple busts, I mean, obviously Goran Dragic comes to mind because I was really high on him. Fareed's a bad one for you. And that's the thing. I mean, Dragic, had some basis in, I maybe should have considered how bad the point guard rotation might affect his numbers. But for Fareed, I mean, there's no way you could see that coming. They just signed him to a big deal. Why would they all of a sudden not play him minutes and have all this behind-the-scenes hoopla going on? You know, that's a frustrating one for you.
Yeah. And Larry Sanders can't stay on the floor.
Yeah, Larry Sanders has been a tough one. I mean, we all thought Batum would be better. He started really, really slow. Carmelo Anthony started slow, but I wasn't huge on him anyway. So.
Another little surprise, Ryan Anderson, not just because of what he's doing, just that he's able to do it after that back injury last year.
Yeah, I remember you you slammed on my Ryan Anderson train a little bit when I had him ranked. I remember that. I had it ranked before almost anyone else had ranks out, and you kind of jabbed me a little bit. And then it ended up that I was, like, behind on the consensus, even in the 60s.
that was kind of interesting going into it early like that. Like, I was really trying to get you to go Markeith at 75, and you're like, nah, there's no need for that. Yeah. By the end, there was.
Yeah, had to keep moving him up. And I liked Markieff, too. I think I started with him in, like, August, having him in the late 80s, maybe. So, I mean, it's not like I didn't like him, but definitely had to keep moving him up as the buzz was coming on him. One last guy, Chandler Parsons, been a little slow. You know, I think the big thing for him is he's just, his field goal percentage is low. I think that'll come up a little bit, but just not getting assists like he did in Houston.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing.
So he's been, yeah, a little bit.
I could just be offense, like getting used to it, you know, related. So I think I would expect a better second half than first half. It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's kind of a buy low, but I'm not investing a top 50 player in him probably.
Nah, you don't need to, though. That's probably the good part. I don't know. It's hard to tell. If I had him, I wouldn't be selling him.
Yeah.
He's still done so much.
I've got him on my first RCL team, and I'm not looking to move him. So thanks again for the tweet there. Bye, Felicia. Appreciate that. One more tweet I got at RTAN87. He asked me, Damari Carroll over Trey Burke. Who'd you take there?
Probably Burke. There's no real... Yeah. Carroll's upside is pretty capped this year. It's much lower than last year. And he really didn't come on until after the Horford injury. I'd run Burke out there and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I'd rather Burke too. He's getting the assists back. Last two games, 8 assists apiece, only 1 turnover. So the assist to turnover is looking good for him. So I agree with you. I said Burke as well. There's some thoughts there for you, RTAN87.
If I need to stream, you know, an Atlanta player or, you know, someone, and, you know, Carroll's my choices, among my choices, I would take it. It's a nice little streamer, but, yeah, there's nothing more there.
Yep, agree with you there. All right, so looking at some games from last night, and I think everyone's number one news bit from last night is talking Rajul Butler, right? That's the big takeaway from last night. Do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, he pulled his best Ben Gordon, ruining somebody's value.
Okay, so all jokes aside, he's not very good at basketball, and he's a journeyman. But
he's 35.
Yeah, but 3 out of the last 4, he's had really good games. Had a good game again last night for 14 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, shot 5 of 7, hit 2 threes. And that's 3 out of 4 really good games, and he's really, you know, all those 23 minutes or above, really turning into the Wizards' sixth man. I mean, you're not really touching him in 12ers, but he's not even owned in REL, and I think he needs to be owned in even 16-team leagues.
Yeah, and Paul Pierce hurt his little big toe.
Oh, so, I didn't see that.
Opening up too. I mean, I think this is more an indictment on Otto Porter and Rice than anything.
Agree, and I put in this morning that if you had asked me who the Wizards' sixth man was going to be this year, I don't even know if I knew that Rajul Butler was going to make the 12-man rotation.
make the team.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought, you know, Porter, Glenn Rice Jr., all these guys with the buzzy summer leagues, and they just have not put it together.
That's tough. They're playing on a good team that's well-established, so... You know, it's hard for a rookie to break in there.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes Butler's rise all the more surprising, is that it was a good team. And, you know, he really fought his way for playing time, and it's paying benefits for him. So, a guy that I'm not completely dismissing anymore. To a guy that I did dismiss this offseason, looked right for a couple games, then looked wrong for a while. Now, missing the shot again, Brandon Jennings, 0 for 11 from the field yesterday, but still got 12 assists. Man, how does both your point guards not hit a shot as DJ Augustine played 14 minutes and went 0 for 6? Man, the Pistons are just...
The ineptitude is impressive. But there's not much you can take away. They're both sub 40% shooters. I mean... If one of them shot, you know, 9 for 11, then I'd be surprised.
I just thought when Jennings would have bad games like this, and, you know, getting 12 assists is a good game. That's fine.
Yeah. And he still got the minutes.
Yeah, I just thought Augustine would be able to apply himself a little bit more, get more run. It's disappointing.
He was much better last year, but that could be the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls seem to plug anybody in, and they're an all-star.
Yeah, so true there. KCP, you're right. Sticks with it. 15 points, 6 boards, gets 2 steals, hit 3 trays. Did you see his assists last night? He had only 1 assist, but it was a doozy.
No, I didn't see it. I saw your link to it, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it was an off the backboard alley oop dunk.
Oh, so, nice!
Little street ballish, and
it shows comfort. That's good.
Yeah. So maybe when Stan Van Gundy spouted that, he really threw his team under the bus a day or two ago. So maybe KCP's. You know, he keeps getting some of the biggest minutes, so he must be in Stan Van's good graces. Staying with this game.
I think he does a lot that we're probably not seeing on the stat sheet.
Oh.
There's no way there's a better perimeter defender on that team.
And you can't really quantify defense other than steals and blocks. And, you know, when you're guarding a perimeter guy, you're not going to get either that much.
Right, and then, you know, he's covering a guy that can just sit there while somebody else goes off on Jennings or Augustine or Singler. So it's tough. It's not a good team. That's the problem.
Yeah, awful, awful team. So on the other side of the ball, in the Celtics win in overtime, Kelly Olynyk has a huge game. You interested in all? I mean, they demote him to the second unit. They start Tyler Zeller, but then Olynyk has the big game last night. 27-3-2-3 for a rainbow line and a couple trays. What are you doing with Olynyk?
I'm excited about it. I didn't own him anywhere. He wasn't dropped anywhere I was in. So, you know, I didn't really have anything I could do about it. But, yeah, this is the coach said when he put Zeller in that it was temporary.
Yeah.
Good games out of Olynyk, and he's right back where he was earlier, which was, I mean, it was about top 50 earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a big Olynyk guy. His defense is so bad. I mean, both Monroe put up 29 points and Drummond put up, I think, 27. I mean, those guys just went to town on him. So, you know, that doesn't matter for fantasy, but it was pretty bad.
He was plus 19. I mean, he did something.
Yeah, that's true. So going to your Heat, you said you watched a lot of this game against the Hawks. So let's start with Mario Chalmers. Norris Cole sits out with the flu. Chalmers starts, and Chalmers has a monster. 19, 5, and 11. Chips in a steal and a block. Hits 6 of 8 shots. Hits 7 of 9 free throws. Gets a plus 18, while the rest of your Heat get minuses.
Yeah. Almost everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. So,
in particular, Shabazz Napier, which was very, very apparent that he could not cover Teague or Schroeder.
Yeah, a little undersized.
Both of them destroyed whichever one Napier attempted to guard. Yeah, I had, you know, Chalmers, you know, 8 field goal attempts, didn't hit any threes. It was kind of a quiet 19 points, if there is such a thing.
Yeah,
but efficiency is nice out of him, and that he can do this with weight on the floor was really, really good.
And that's what I want to ask you. Do you think he can stick? You know, is this any sort of impetus for Spoelstra to start him and bring Cole off the bench now?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been in motion. McRoberts just came back into the starting lineup. Yeah, I think the wheels are in motion for this to be. Because they just got McRoberts back, which made last night McRoberts, Dang, Bosch, Chalmers, Wade. That was the first time all year. So, yeah, I think that's probably what they're going to stick with going forward.
But worth mentioning, I don't know if you've seen an update here. I haven't looked yet. Luol Deng had to come out early last night with a hand injury. Has there been any update there? Sorry to put you on the spot. But
yeah, it was weird. Wade played some small forward, I guess. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
I hope it means more minutes for Ennis. It didn't really mean that last night. He got a couple more, but nothing. No big minutes.
Yep, I'm looking up Deng now. X-rays negative. Right hand is questionable. Questionable for the Heat's upcoming road trip. Not just one game.
Okay. That means he's probably out the first one.
Yep. So, definitely worth keeping your eye on Deng there. You think Ennis is the big pickup?
He should be. Is he? I don't know.
I know you. I know you love Ennis.
He's so good. He needs the minutes. I hope so. That's what I'm rooting for. It's hard to be a fan of a team and then, you know, be what's the word? Impartial.
Fantasy objective.
Yeah, it doesn't happen really.
Yeah. All right, so to the other side of the ball, and pulling his best hollow man impression is Al Horford. 29 minutes, only takes 3 shots, 6 points, and only 2 rebounds. Ugh, what are you doing with Horford? And someone asked a question today, would you rather have Horford or Favors?
Yeah, it's not even close. I want multiple Horfords for my Favors. there's no way. Favors is far and away better, and Millsap is taking over that team.
Yeah, well, we both loved Millsap coming into the year. I don't know. I mean, yes, I think I'd rather have Favors too, but I'm giving Horford some more leash than I think you are. I know he's been absolutely terrible. I mean, you look at his rebounds. They're, you know, looking at his last 10, I'm picking out 5 of the last 10 games have been under 5 rebounds. 4-2, 4-4-2 have been 5 of the last 10 games in rebounds. I mean, that's just unacceptable from your big. At least he's getting blocks. He's had a block in 7 straight games. And his turnover rate is so low. It's only 1 turnover a game.
He's not touching the ball. He had 2.2 turnovers in almost 30 games last year, and now he's at 1.1. It's because he's not part of the offense.
Yeah, and he's, I don't know, the big thing from last year to this year is he's just not getting to the free throw line either. You know, it was at 18.6 points and 3.5 more shots last year as well. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to give Horford a tiny bit more leash. I'm not really going to try to buy him low, but at the same time, I'm not going to just give him away. I would take Favors, and, you know, he's worth floating for maybe that kind of deal.
Harrow is not taking his job. That's I can guarantee you.
Well, that's something frustrating. Of course, I'm a little biased. I've always been a big Mike Scott fan, but why the hell is Antich getting so much playing time? And Mike Scott goes 4 or 5 last night and only plays 13 minutes, say.
Every time I see Antich in, he's just terrible.
And every time I see Mike Scott in, he's awesome. I mean, he had a couple huge playoff games for him last year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been paying attention to Adrian Payne in the D-League just to kind of see if it's coming around, and it's really not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't – it's Mike Scott's not going to get 30 minutes. It's not going to happen.
Oh, no, and I don't expect it to, but, you know, take a – Coach Butthole over here, take a little note from Hornacek. Play your hot hand every once in a while. I mean,
he's been doing it in the guard rotation with Schroeder.
Yeah, but I mean – I guess Damari Carroll only plays 22 minutes and shot 2 of 9. You know, you'd like to see Mike Scott get a couple more shots when he's hot, but that's just me. So if you were following the Magic game and everyone was on the edge of their seat for when the Clippers beat them by 30 for that awful game last night, Kylo Quinn only plays 6.5 minutes. He got ejected for fouling Blake Griffin too hard. So if you were streaming O'Quinn, you kind of got burned there, even though Vucevic was out with back spasms. But worth holding on to O'Quinn for a little bit longer to see what happens with Vucevic, right?
Yep, and I'm worried about Vucevic. I hate them backs.
Yeah,
being back issues.
Especially for those big men. It's not good. A couple other injuries to update on. Marcus Gasol, as we're recording right now, no update yet, but had soreness in that knee where he tore the MCL last year. Worth monitoring there. You're crossing your fingers. And you're crossing your fingers and your thumb, hoping that Draymond Green's sprained thumb is not an issue down the road. If Draymond misses any time, Maurice Spates, good pickup?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's kind of limited in what he does, but he does it at an extremely high volume, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
He never met a mid-range jumper he wouldn't take. Well, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he ends ball movement. That's his job.
Nice. And joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is Justin Fan from Basketball Monster. We're a big fan of your work. I didn't even mean to pun that. I'm sure you've gotten that a million times in your life. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on. Been a good week. We got KD back, finally. And, you know, Warriors fan here, and we're looking pretty good in the SAC Western Conference, so things are pretty good right now.
Jeez, I didn't even realize that. So you have Durant in our friends and family matchup?
I do not. I actually drew the 12th pick this year, so
that's right.
I hope I had Durant.
I only have Durant on one team. Sorry. So in one of my most important leagues, I was going against Durant this week, and it was very, very sad. So tell us a little bit about your how you got into fantasy basketball, how long you've been writing, and what you do there for Basketball Monster.
Sure. I first started out at RotoWire, doing NBA editor. I was an NBA editor, NBA writer over there for about 2 years. And then I was over at Yahoo for another 2 years, writing content and, you know, contributing to their Roto Arcade blog. Me and Matt Booze over there. And we end up, you know, leaving recently a couple of years ago to go over to Basketball Monster. And, you know, things have been really good there. It's basically, you know, daily projections, you know, updates, rankings, and all that, and all that good stuff. And, you know, just a lot more flexibility, a lot more freedom. And, you know, I've been at this for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years at least now. So it's been a while.
Yeah, and I don't know if you probably don't know this, but when we first put our ranks on Fantasy Pros, Slim and I were both we both said we liked your ranks the best compared to ours. So,
well, thank you.
We mentioned you then, and then we come into the Yahoo Friends and Family, and guess who won it last year? So we got to see that you were the former champ in our first year. So tell us a little bit about winning last year. Did Funston leave threatening voicemails? Did Pianowski show up at your doorstep with a baseball bat? Any of that stuff?
Well, the league's always interesting in terms of, you know, there's always a portion of the league that isn't as active as others. I'll just say that. But you know, otherwise at the top, it was super competitive. I think last year they had a pretty funky points format where big men were really like overvalued, and people drafted came in the draft and were valuing players like it was kind of like 9 category standard. So I kind of just was able to kind of pick up on that advantage. And you know, I think like at a single time, like 8 of my 10 players in my lineup were big men. And that kind of just, you know, carried me to the end. And I ended up facing up against Dr. Ray at RotoWorld in the championship and, ended up taking that down. So it's been, I've been in that league for a while now, and that was the first time I ended up winning that. So, you know, pretty happy about it.
Nice, and we're hoping to take you down. Our year's been a little up and down this year. We streamed Ilyasova just for this week in 4 games, and we had yet another injury in our weekly league. It's annoying when they happen early week like that. So a couple guys in your ranks. I'm looking at your ranks from October 16th, so this is maybe a little dated, but 3 guys that you had really high that we had high as well were Derek Favors and Markieff Morris and Draymond Green. So those were 3 of our big kind of sleepers. What did you see for them coming into the year?
I mean, Favors, you know, you just kind of like that Quinn Snyder system, the new motion offense. You know, a lot of what we saw last year was just a lot of stagnant. Gordon Hayward just having to bail out the offense and take like last minute contested shots all the time. So Snyder coming in, you know, installing some sort of semblance of movement, off-ball cuts, and whatever has really freed things up. Obviously, Hayward has taken that leap as well. So Hayward and Favors together, I thought we're set to benefit big time from Snyder coming in. Markieff, yeah, I mean, he's always been really great on a permanent basis. I think Channing Frye left, so he was looking at more minutes. Just a really great situation this year, and it's really surprising, like, the extent of the leap that he's taken so far, like top 40 this year. You know, I liked him coming in. I put him at like 60 or 65 in that range, but the extent that he's blown up has been surprising, to say the least. And, you know, Draymond, you know, we saw in the playoffs how good he was and how good he could be. Arguably the second best player on the Warriors during that playoff run. And, you know, David Lee's injury definitely helped early on with that strained hamstring. You know, maybe he takes a bit of a hit when Lee comes back in the next week or two. But I think he still hangs on that starting job. And another really good per-minute guy who was looking at, you know, more minutes.
Yeah, those were all guys we liked as well. I mean, it's been an interesting year. One guy that we both also liked that we ended up in the friends and family was Paul Millsap. He was one of our big gets this year. So we asked another person about him that we were playing in our friends and family. I don't remember if it was Adam or one of the other Roto World guys. But we took him over Kevin Love. Did you think that was crazy on draft day? I know we were following your back-to-back picks. So I don't remember who we wanted that we were hoping would fall through the cracks through your picks in that first round there, but we ended up going Millsap over Love. What did you think of that take?
No, I don't mind it at all. Especially I passed on Love at 12 and 13 as well because of that playoff schedule is 3-3-3 coming up. So I mean, when you're in the head to head league, basically the main goal is to obviously win in the head to head playoffs and going 3-3-3. There is a huge disadvantage from one of your best players. So I definitely understand passing Love there. Millsap has definitely been one of the most underrated players in fantasy for some time now. And, you know, top 20 last year, top 15 this year, we had him. I think I had him as a second round player, mid second round player. So, you know, I didn't mind the pick at 13 there. Might've been a couple picks earlier for me, but I've always been a Millsap fan. And, you know, he's definitely paid off. I think he's exactly 13th in per game value so far this year.
Yeah, I think I had him 12, so I had him right there. Slim, who else was someone that we talked about with Fan on our ranks? I don't know if you remember that far back.
Well, I was there while you guys were drafting. I was talking to JB, and apparently there was some noise when you drafted Gordon Hayward at like 36.
Yeah.
I was telling JB I loved it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about drafting at the turn, at 12, 13 especially, right, is it sucks for one because you're obviously getting the worst first rounder, but the worst part of it actually is that, like, you totally miss out on positional runs, right? And when I was at round three after taking two big men right off the board, I was like, you know, I missed on Conley, missed on Bledsoe, missed on Lawson. Didn't have a point guard, didn't have any assists. So Hayward was a guy, like I said, I obviously really liked with Snyder's system. And, you know, I just, you know, I thought it was aggressive, probably, for what the public thinks, I guess. But, you know, I really liked him, and he gave me a lot of assists at that spot. And, you know, I wasn't going to pick for another 24 or so picks. So, you know, that's kind of who I settled on there.
Yeah, Slim and you are both big Hayward fans. I'm kind of lukewarm, but that's just me. So one guy you were down on that, you know, I hate to do this, but I've got to back my Brandon Knight love every chance I get.
Oh, sure.
I was the number one green on Brandon Knight. So are you buying what he's doing? Because most people had him ranked, you know, in the hundreds on October 16th. You were 117. And he's all of a sudden a top 25 player. A lot of people have been asking for, you know, do I sell high? But I was huge on him anyway. Would you recommend people sell high at this point? I mean, he's shown some cracks in the armor. He had a couple bad games, but now he's off to good ones again.
Yeah, so it really depends on what you're selling him for. I'll say that. If you're selling him for, if someone's paying market price and giving you a top 40 player back, top 50 player back, then yes, I would sell. But do I think he'll – I think he'll regress a little bit. I think he'll take a little bit of a step back. He's averaging like 1.6 steals right now, which is crazy high, shooting 90% from the line, which is also crazy high. Those two stats will – two areas will come down a little bit, but he's still like a top 80 player for me the rest of the way. I think if one guy I think is just kind of immune to Jason Kidd's just ridiculous rotation decisions from game to game, it's Knight. I mean, he's shown his minutes have been safe. He doesn't have those game to game swings like Giannis or Jabari does. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Knight's really shown improvement. I mean, it's impossible to ignore. He works really hard, and he's learned the position, and he's become more comfortable. And I mean, there isn't really anybody in Milwaukee to really challenge him in terms of usage and role. So I think he's, you know, pretty safe. I think you took him what, like 96 or something.
Yeah,
than that actually.
Yeah, how dare you discount Nate Walters and his dominance like that?
Nate Walters and Kendall Marshall.
Yeah. So I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but this is something we brought up on the beginning of the show. We talked a little bit of what's your biggest surprise player this year, and what's a guy you really liked that has not performed? What's your big surprise and your big bust this year?
Let's see. My biggest surprise... putting me on the spot here.
I know. Sorry, man.
probably, you know, I'll name a couple players that I was surprised about. First is probably Kyrie Irving. For him to actually increase his points average with LeBron and Kevin Love being added to the mix is impressive. We knew the efficiency gains would be there. Obviously, you get better looks, but for him to score as much as he has been a bit of a surprise. He's top five right now, I believe. You know, he was a guy I was kind of not willing to go all in on because just I thought there was kind of like nothing of a downside there, really, because it was just kind of like how many less shots would he take with those two guys added in. Another surprise, probably, let's see. I mean, Sully to where he's been to this point has been, you know, I liked him coming in, but top 35 is silly. And I don't think he's a sell high either. I think he's legit at where he is right now. Added the three ball, you know, shooting like 50%, almost 50% from the field. I mean, just putting up monster numbers over there in Boston. So, you know, he's been a bit of surprise, based on where he is right now. Disappointments, you know, maybe Melo struggling to adjust to that triangle offense. You know, I had about a bout of back spasms, but, I mean, he's just kind of – he went first round, I think, you know, top 10 in a lot of drafts, and he's been definitely disappointed relative to that. Maybe another one I'll add in is Thaddeus Young. You know, big numbers in Philly last year. Came into a Minnesota team that was, you know, short on scores. We thought he would come in and put up comparable numbers to what he did in Philly, but that just hasn't been it. He's kind of had a weird start to the season and definitely been disappointing. So I'd probably say those guys, you know. Kind of top of my list, at least.
So one thing I did, and you'll have to help guide me, and maybe this is an idea for an article you can do there at Basketball Monster, but I went back and looked at the Basketball Monster per game rating since you had data. So I think that was like 2004-ish. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it's our first season was 2005-2006, yeah.
Yeah. And I looked at the number one player in his per-game value every year, and no one's been close to what Anthony Davis is doing this year in nine-cat value. Is there any way that you could you know, quantify just how good he's been this year?
Wow. I think combined steals and blocks, I believe that's the highest in NBA history. 5.4 is what he's doing combined steals and blocks so far. And, you know, he had his breakout last year, right? And, you know, his coming out party. And, you know, how does he follow that up? He just improves in 7 of 8 categories this year. It's just absurd. You know, the offensive growth has been the most surprising, I think, just how far he's come along on that end of the floor. His face-up game is just crazy good, how he can just rise above shooters and just pull up for that jumper at any time and just get past defenders at will. Just, I mean, there really literally is no categorical weakness here at all. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
And he's starting to take some threes too. So if next year he does what he's doing now and starts hitting a three a game, will he break Basketball Monster?
Yes, there's a good chance. I mean,
what is the brightest color green you got?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, he'll just be off the spectrum at that point. We'll have to introduce another color to the mix.
Slim, do you have anything else for Justin?
Not top of my head. What do you think about this Michael Carter Williams? We're getting a lot of questions about whether he's a sell or a keep. What do you think?
I think he's definitely benefiting right now from Tony Roten being out.
And he hurts a lot.
What do you mean?
With the both percents and the turnovers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, bottom line, if you're owning MCW, you're probably punting like two categories at least. Field goal percentage for sure. Turnovers, absolutely. Because 37, 40% from the field and 3.54 turnovers is just massive. And then he obviously shoots poorly from the line too, for a guard, you know, at, you know, 65-70%. So, I mean, is he a buy or sell? I think he has a very specific appeal. He's very what we call Christmas tree, a lot of greens, a lot of reds. So a lot of huge, you know, a lot of big points, assists, and rebound numbers, a lot of steals, but huge efficiency drain. So in general, I think, you know, he's probably a sell. If you can get, you know, a top 80-100 player for him, because, you know, I mean, just in general, punting three categories and 9 category league is just a big no-go for me. And I just, I myself would probably never roster a player like that in general. You know, MCW or Tony Roten, just not my type of a player that appeals to me at all.
I like that. I've never heard that before. A Christmas tree player. Yeah. I think I might use that for a little bit. I think that's going to be it for us. How can we follow you on Twitter? How can we read your stuff? How can we share you on the Twitter sphere?
On Twitter sphere, you just follow us at Basketball Monster, BASK Monster. I obviously have my own Twitter handle, but I barely tweet, so I just recommend you follow our site handle for, you know, we go up to the minute status updates and lineup notes and all that good stuff. To get you to the minute on alerts and all that. And, you know, you can read my stuff on Basketball Monster. We do, you know, content, you know, almost every day. So you can check that on there.
Cool. I will do that. And one last thing I'll leave you with is in our matchup, you are, your team name is Basque Monster Fan. I think we need to contact the Yahoo people and the programmers and tell them they need to extend the character list of team names.
I'm saying. I mean, it's a struggle over here.
It's
brutal. It's brutal. I mean, when I was at Yahoo, it was so much easier. Just the Y and fan, but I just had to cut it. I mean, Twitter's the same thing. We can't do Basketball Monster on Twitter either. It's just his character. Jeez, lines,
man. Yeah, I've had so many interesting team names thwarted by Yahoo's system. So, thanks again for joining us. Be sure to follow Justin and Basketball Monster. We'll tweet this out to you guys. And you have a good one, man. Good luck to you in the rest of your week in our friends and family matchup.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me on.
All right, and thanks again for Justin hopping on the phone with us. Be sure to check him out, like we said, on Basketball Monster. I'm back with Slim, and looking ahead to tonight's games. Only 3 games on the slate, which makes sense after a big Tuesday and a big Wednesday. Good congratulations! Slim is finally on the board in our 30-point challenge. Well done. Well done. Kyle Lowry, 39 points. Hits a career high. I think you should get bonus points, don't you?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. I was, you know, I've been doing it a lot, actually, with scoreboard watching for that 30-point challenge. I don't know why.
It's a fun game. I'm like,
oh, is he gonna do it? Is he going to do it? I mean, it's getting 27-28 every time. It's just a killer.
Yeah, it's a fun game. He had a lot, and it was a blowout. So I thought at one point they might sit him, but no, they let him run it up a little bit. So good call there. I had Monta Ellis, who I think put up 23. I'm saying that since he hit a game winner, I'm going to give him 9 points for that shot for winning the game. So I got it too. Is that how this game works? No.
I think you subtract for each extra step, right?
Damn it. So close. So yeah, good call by there. It's now 3-1 in our 30-point challenge. And tonight's got some limited choices. Top 10 scores.
There's some big choices out there.
Yeah.
There's some superstars going tonight.
Yeah, but a lot of them are top 10 scores.
This is true.
So, top 10 right now, Durant, Bryant, Harden, James, Brow, Curry, Melo, Cousins, Westbrook, Blake Griffin. No changes there since yesterday. Who do you have for 30 points?
You said
points?
Klay Thompson, right?
I did not say Klay Thompson.
You didn't say Klay Thompson? He's no longer a top 10 scorer?
Oh, I thought he was going to be one of the top scorers all year after that early run.
Sure we did.
Yeah, down to 17th at 20.9 a game. Are you saying that you're picking Klay Thompson?
That is definitely not what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
and Aldridge's big game makes him no longer an option, huh?
No, he is. He's 11th.
Oh,
at 22.4. Kind of, I'm picking Aldridge. Called it.
Are you now?
Called it.
All right. I got you.
I don't have to. If you wanted Aldridge, I'll give it to you. No. I stole your Cousins early in the year. If you really want Aldridge, you can have him. I bequeath him onto you.
I got a question. Was LeBron on that list?
Yeah, he's 4th at 24.9.
Yeah, I guess as a disgruntled Heat fan, I don't watch too many Cleveland games. Mm-hmm.
Actually, Kyrie might be a good one. I'm not trying. I shouldn't be giving ideas, but if you want Aldridge, I don't mind taking.
Yeah, I'm
Kyrie.
Going between players that I can't stand. That's the problem. Like, it's between Love and Klay Thompson.
Well, if it was players that you can't stand for me, it'd be Robin Lopez. But
no, I'm going Klay.
You'll go Klay.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to cover him.
Well, it's not going to be Darius Miller because they cut him.
No, I hope it's Luke Babbitt.
Luke Babbitt. When we did the NBA highlights at my job last year, we're not doing them this year, in case you're wondering. This one of my friends made fun of Luke Babbitt every time he was on the floor. It was Luke Babbitt MVP. He would just yell that at his workstation. It was really funny. Yeah, Thompson's good. Like I said, I'll stick with Aldridge. He got it for me his last game. You know, our back-to-back wins, 39 points for both of them. So we're hitting our stride in our 30-point challenge.
Yeah, I guess I'm hoping for 10 threes out of Klay.
Brag
well,
off.
That's about what he does.
He is averaging 6.3 attempts from downtown a game.
10 makes when you're only taking 6 shots. Something about that math doesn't add up.
I don't know. Something's wrong there. We're going to need John Nash to beautiful mind this. So looking at the 3 games tonight, you know, Melo's back, quote-unquote, healthy. Cleveland's got everyone. the Pacers.
Yeah, you figure LeBron's just going to go crazy in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that should be. It could be a good game. Could be a blowout.
I don't know.
It's probably a blowout. Yeah. You know, if you held on to Donald Sloan, maybe tonight's your last game since it's a light slate. I picked up Stuckey in a league where I had an empty roster spot, or a streaming spot, I should say. I think Stuckey can have a decent game. One of my streamer calls was Steve Blake. We saw both Dragic and Bledsoe just tear up the Pacers point guards a couple of days ago. So the Blazers could get some good point guard run. Lillard should have a monster for your team. So I know you're a big Lillard guy.
Yeah. I got him a couple places.
Yeah. And then the big one, the Brow versus Golden State. Brow, the demolishing inside presence versus Golden State taking threes every possession. Should be a good game.
Yeah, I hope Draymond is going.
Yeah, I hope so too. So we'll see what happens with his thumb there. So looking briefly ahead to Friday for DraftKings, be sure to play your daily fantasy on DraftKings.com. Sorry that I don't have an answer for you yet if we're doing a Razzball-only contest or not. I hope we are, but we haven't filled them up, so we might not. Either way, we'll have a DraftKings article up tomorrow, and if we don't have a Razzball-only contest, I'll link to one of the other contests that I'll be in, and see if Slim, you want to be in one with me tomorrow? Whichever one.
Sound good.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk offline and pick a good one for tomorrow. So without knowing prices, you know, it's a really big slate of Friday games. You know, I haven't given this too much thought ahead of time, but I don't know. Olynyk off a big game against the iffy Lakers, that might be an interesting option. I don't know. Who else is interesting for you for DraftKings on Friday?
Well, I'm looking at this Toronto mess against Cleveland, and I think I want to stay out of it.
Yeah. I don't know, Lou Williams.
Maybe Greenis is cheap enough, but I don't know if he's going to be cheap enough.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that random backtrack? Did you see Patrick Patterson had like 31 minutes to James Johnson's 19? Gonna win that bet!
He didn't do a whole... Oh, yeah, one game, huh? He didn't do a whole lot, but I noticed Amir Johnson played, so...
Yeah, I know. I just thought that was funny. I don't know. Would like Papanikolaou, is he an interesting guy with the Rockets going at Minnesota? You expect that to be a blowout? See some Rockets second unit?
Yeah, but I mean, Moti Junis, I'm pretty sure, plays with the second unit in blowouts too, so yeah. He could get his minutes either way.
Avoiding everyone in the Spurs Memphis game. Ugh.
Yeah, that's one of those. Well, so what was the final score in that Brooklyn game last night?
I think it was 95-93, and that was in an overtime.
Oh, they broke nine?
Yeah, it was in an overtime, though, I think.
Yeah. I saw a bit of it, and then this pace was unbelievably slow. It was a bunch.
Well, Corey Joseph was definitely running up the pace a little bit, so I'm excited as a Joseph Dynasty owner.
Yeah, you know how I feel about him. He's a really good player.
Yep. I'm glad I stole him from you in our trade last year.
But against Memphis, I don't think he's going to get too much run there.
That's when they
play their best and play him as much as they can.
No, I don't either.
But Cousins against Indy, all day.
Yep, that's a good one. That he should just tear them up. Collison might have a good bounce back game, but I don't know what his. I don't know if his money will be worth it.
Maybe Rodney Hood against Orlando.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sure.
If he's still starting. He will still be starting. We didn't mention Alec Burks. He's out a few more games with the shoulder injury. OKC at Philadelphia. I think I see a good value here if the money's right. Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, pretty much any of them. They need wins so bad that I bet they just play them all, whatever the score is.
I don't know about that. You got your two superstars coming off injuries. If they're up 20 at halftime,
I don't know. I mean, I'd stay away from Ibaka.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Or in you know, a points type setting.
Although Gorgie went, I think it was like 15-16 or something really good last night. So Ibaka might finally get back on the rebounds column. But yeah, I probably wouldn't.
Because he actually played a close game for. you know, the first time in weeks.
That is a good point. All right, man, so let's go to the movie theaters. What's coming out this week? We got something called The Pyramid. I don't even know what that is. Something called Wild. I don't know what any of these movies coming out this week is.
Light? No, they're waiting for the Christmas rush.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Wild was that, like, chick flick-looking thing with Reese Witherspoon. Eh, pass. Number one in the box office is The Hunger Games. Shocker there. I'm still working on my young adult novel series that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I actually used the Twilight Saga for something. Oh, I needed a table to be a little higher one day, so I put the four books under the table.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. So, yeah, I finally saw Interstellar in theaters. Mm. And I'll just say that I'm not surprised it's 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a little low for a Nolan movie. Not surprised at all.
But it was pretty, right?
It was pretty. It was pretty. It was kind of like one of those really hot reality TV stars. Pretty on the outside, but just empty on the inside. Not really. I don't want to ruin it for anyone else. I've probably said too much, but... Let's just say that I wasn't that happy with it. So, even though I love Nolan, I'm a big Nolan fan. Love all the Batmans. I liked Inception. I saw Memento when that came out. I really liked that.
Oh, that's a great movie. Yeah. One of my favorites.
I really liked Insomnia too. I thought Insomnia went a little underrated. That was a good one.
Right. Yeah, I'll wait for the screener.
Yeah. Well. All right. So what?
Sorry about that.
That kind of derailed me a little bit. What have you seen, man? What's what have you been watching?
I watched Fury. That was so good.
The tanks.
Like half the movie takes place inside of a tank, and the realism of it was phenomenal. Yeah, it was a good movie. I was very impressed.
Does Pitt make out with LaBeouf? While they're
nope, does take his shirt off, just in case you were wondering.
Really? All right. I like where this is going.
So, completely gratuitous, but you know, whatever. It's for the ladies.
You gotta have a couple good things for the ladies when the whole movie's about dudes in a tank.
Yes, there's much testosterone.
Yeah, understandably. Anything else you've seen?
Well, you know. That girl from, what's that movie? Beast of the Southern Wild. What's her name? Quasicatl? I can't pronounce her name. I think she's mine. I don't know. But, you know, I saw some of Annie, and she was really good.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Jamie Foxx can hold a tune, so. And yeah, that one was, it's a good one.
Jamie Foxx is a winner. I saw the Saturday Night Live sketch of Annie. I think it was Jay Farrow being Jamie Foxx. It was pretty funny.
Oh, God. Saturday Night Live has kind of turned the corner.
Yeah, it's been good. I enjoy it. You turn the corner in positive, right?
Yeah, well, it was going downhill for the past couple years. They made some changes, and I think the changes are good.
I feel like it's been good the past few years.
All right.
I've enjoyed it. It's been good enough. Did you, if you caught up on Walking Dead?
Not everybody has.
Did we talk that last week? I don't remember.
Yeah, I have. Do we have to, like, put a little primer, whatever it's called?
A little spoiler alert?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have to talk about anything specific. I thought it was pretty good. So.
Yeah, no, it's... I'm just glad they're away from the prison. God, that was dragging on.
Yeah, my buddy was the same way. I mean, I kind of liked the prison, but I thought it moved fine to get away from there.
So. Yeah, there's some people I talked to that liked it. They liked how there was, you know, an actual life going on in the prison. It wasn't just, we have to run.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited for where they go next. I was telling my friend, I hope they stay somewhere in downtown next. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard for them to make much ground, I would imagine, so... They don't seem to be traveling very fast.
Yeah, and in the preview for the next chunk of the season in the spring, it seemed like they were it comes on right after the show if you watch it on TV. So I don't know. It seems like they're going to still be on the run, and hopefully they figure something out. Anything else, man? Anything else big on your weekend? Big weekend plans? Going out, hitting the clubs?
No, not going to happen. No, there's got to be some good football on.
Disagree with that.
I'll be sitting back doing.
Disagree with that as a Panthers fan and a Michigan fan. I'm just happy they fired Brady Hoke. Yikes.
Michigan Wolverines?
Yeah, my dad went there. So
okay.
I grew up watching Michigan football. That's why my even though I'm from the South, my I don't have really a Southern twang. I just have my voice that is too high for a 6'7" person.
No, I was gonna say though, with all the good football in the SEC and ACC, why would you be watching Michigan?
Yeah, it's just how it took me. How the world took me.
My SEC bias is ridiculous.
They're overrated.
Yeah, sure they are. You think Florida State would be a 500 team in the SEC?
No. They barely beat Florida. Isn't Florida terrible this year?
Florida State?
They barely beat Florida though, right?
Yeah, they barely did. And they'd be crushed by Alabama. And, you know, having just do that, like, over and over, you know, it's just so different than every other league.
Yeah, I just hope Jameis Winston goes to a team in the NFC South and derails that team, like the Buccaneers or something.
His future is ridiculous.
Yeah, so.
I would not be betting against him. He's not the smartest kid out there, but I wouldn't bet against him.
Really? I'd bet against him. He seems like a moron.
You think he's Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah, I think he's more Jamarcus Russell than, you know, Andrew Luck.
Okay. All right. So. Just those, his ability to come back in the fourth has been, you know, that's hard to put a number on that, you know?
Well, you can put 5,000 on it, because isn't that what his friend bet, that they'd be down against Louisville a couple weeks ago? Did you see that?
I didn't say he was the smartest kid. Obviously, I'm not repeating what I believe his response would be, because I think FSU would kick me out of the school for saying that. So, yeah.
Oh, man, we're way off the rails talking Jameis Winston. So we're going to end it there. You guys have a great weekend out there in Razzball Nation. We'll be back next Tuesday. As always, basketball.razzball.com. Ask us any of your comments. Tweet me at JB Gilpin for any tweets you want read on the air. And thanks again to our Fantasy Sports Network listeners. We are out for the weekend. Have a good one, man.
All righty. Adios.